Oh, good morning. The opening reading is Matthew 13, verse 10 through 17. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them.
Well, good morning, everybody. As always, it's always a great joy to be in God's house and to be around His covenant people, Israel. The title of the message I'd like to share with you today is The Will of God is the Word of God. And it's such a simple thing, and but it's so important. Because I think people, you hear it all the time, well, I want God's will in my life. I want God's will. What's His will? I want God's will. Well, His will is His word, and He gave us His word. And anything that's not in His word, it's not His will. And it bothers me because I think some people like to blame God when things don't happen as they see fit. Well, it wasn't my fault. It was just God's will. And as we read in our opening reading, the disciples, Jesus spoke in parables. And He told the disciples, and they asked Him, why do you do that? And He said that because it is given unto you, but to them it is not given. Well, who's the them that it's not given to? And we go back to the reading, He said, I speak to them because they see and see not, they hear and they hear not. And Matthew 13, verse 13. And then in verse 15, here's the problem. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. God didn't close them. Jesus didn't close them. They closed them themselves. They have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart that they should be converted and that I should heal them. So He wants to convert them. He tries to reach out. But to some people, it's not given to them. And it's important to understand who these people are. To give you an example, I've got a parable I'd like to share with you this morning. And you know, a parable is a story that's not true. But I kind of want to get you set the table for what I want to talk about today. And what happened was this morning when we got up, when I woke up, the motel we stay at, they serve a breakfast. You can go down there and have breakfast from, 6 to 10 or whatever. So I went down there and got a little thing to eat. And I was sitting there by myself. I got up early before everybody else. And here come this guy, sat down at the table right next to me. And I go, good morning, good morning. And we got the chit-chat. And this guy's name was Fred Smith. And he says, well, are you in town? I said, yeah, we're in town. We got a church that we come visit to and visit with, and we're down here to visit. And he said, oh, you're not going to believe this, but I'm from Lincoln, Nebraska, and me and my family are moving to Florence. Unfortunately, the people, the movers and the trailers and the haulers won't be here till Monday. But I brought my family here for the weekend. We're just going to kind of swim and have a good time. And to be honest with you, sir, we need to find a church to go to. And he said, could you recommend, tell us about this church you're coming down to visit. Tell us a little bit about it. And I said, well, it's a nice, very contemporary, traditional church. The name of the pastor of this church is Mark Elmore. I combine. And Pastor Mark Elmore is kind of a traditional kind of guy. He goes, well, what do you mean? He said, well, like, for instance, it's Easter weekend. And Pastor Mark Elmore likes to take his Easter eggs when he has for the kids and the grandkids come over. And what he does is he puts a cross on each Easter egg because he wants to keep Christ. He wants you to remember that this is something to do with the death and resurrection of our Savior. As a matter of fact, even at Christmas time, Pastor Mark Elmore puts up a real Christmas tree. And he will not send out any Christmas card that doesn't say Merry Christmas on it because he believes in keeping Christ in Christmas. He's a very traditional man. And he said, well, who all goes to this church? Is it open? Oh, yeah, it's open to everyone. As a matter of fact, about a couple of months ago we were here, the last time we were here, Pastor Mark Elmore gave a sermon. And the sermon was, God is colorblind. And it just blessed my heart. Okay, now I said all that to say this. What if Fred Smith, his wife and three kids, came here next Sunday? And what if he came here every Sunday for 5 weeks? And he heard about the covenants that God made with his covenant people, Israel. And he heard the truth about Easter and the truth about and all the other stuff. What I want to say is at the end of 5 weeks, he should be very, very angry. And he's got three choices. One anger is good. One anger is understandable. And one anger is very, very bad. The good anger, he should be angry at me because I lied to him. I deceived him. I said some things about this church and the Pastor Mark Elmore that were not true. He should be very angry at this guy he met. Second choice is he could be angry at Pastor Mark Elmore. And I can understand that. I'm not saying it's good or bad, but I understand because as Jesus said, blessed are your eyes for you see and your ears for you hear. Because you haven't closed your eyes and closed your ears. You heard the thing. So I can understand if Fred Smith is angry at Pastor Mark Elmore. But here's the bad one. What if he's angry at our God? What if he's angry when he hears the truth of who he is and who his God is? And that's what's happened to our people. They're angry at our God. They get angry. Have you ever showed someone a scripture? That can't be God. That's not my God. That can't be true. What's the will of God? It's the Word of God. There should not be a single verse in this Bible that would ever be offensive to anyone. Hard to hear at first? Yes. If you've been fed milk all your life, or as today, they serve church, now they serve cotton candy. And they're on a sugar high, you know, hugs and kisses, hallelujah, pray, you know, let's all hold hands and love Jesus. That's all they know. But I guarantee you what would happen if Fred Smith came here. What would happen? That's what I want to talk about today. I'm going to read some verses. I just want to go through them very rapidly and just show you some examples that the will of God is found in his word. To get started with, if you will, turn with me to the book of James chapter 1. James chapter 1, I'm going to begin in verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is likened to a man holding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh unto the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed or his doings. There's my whole sermon right there in the simplicity of it. Are you a doer of the word? Because if not, you're just deceiving yourself. We must be doers of the word. It's not enough to hear it and have a casual attitude. Because if you do, you're only deceiving yourself. You cannot be a hearer. You cannot close your eyes. You cannot close your... When you hear, you must change. As a matter of fact, to give an example of what some people might say, turn back to the book of Malachi, chapter 3. To show people this, and I've shown this to people, and it's I always like to watch their reaction because it tells me where they're at. Malachi chapter 3, I want to read verse 6 and 7. Verse 6, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return?" The point, the most important thing is God says, I don't change. If I didn't like it yesterday, I don't like it today, and I'm not going to like it tomorrow. Now, this is 2018. If you want this church to grow, Pastor Mark Elmore, you need to change with the times. I mean, look at our attendance here. We could triple it if you would just be willing to change. Really. I've said this before. God doesn't need more Christians. He needs better Christians. I don't need more people. I need better people. And that's what he's after. He says, I don't change. There is nothing in here that changed. Now, granted, the animal sacrifices did change. Because, as I said, the blood of animals covered sin. The blood of Jesus Christ removed the sin. You can't trump the blood of Christ, period. That was done away with. The Aaron, the Levitical priesthood, when the curtain was rent and all that, that changed. But it didn't change the people. He didn't change his covenants. He didn't break his covenant. We broke it with him, but he never, ever changes. Some traditions might have, but it's still the same thing. Stay in Malachi. Now go with me to verse 16. Malachi chapter 3. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord, that he thought upon his name, that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteousness and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth his not. What are these jewels he's talking about? He's talking about that crown of glory we each and every one of us will receive if you remain in his word and do his will. You will receive a crown of glory. But then there's going to come a day where each and every one of us will take off our crown. And we will walk to God the Father, and we will lay down our crown at his feet, and we will bow down and serve him. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. Yes, you're a jewel in his crown. But we will take that off, and we will lay it down, and we will bow down and serve him. And that's what he said. I want people who fear me. I want people who care. I will remember those who follow me. I will remember them who turn to me, who return to me and follow after me. If you will, turn with me now to the book of Romans, chapter 2. Because, well, that was the Old Testament, Brian. You know, that everything changed. How many times have you heard that? Well, that was back then, but he changed now. It's okay to have a ham and cheese sandwich because they didn't have refrigerators back then, or on and on and on and on and on. If you will, turn up Romans chapter 2, beginning in verse 13. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. Now, I got to stop here because, wait, I thought the law was nailed to the cross. I thought the law was done away with. This is Romans. This is written after the death, resurrection, and ascension of Christ. Well, Brian, that all changed. The law was nailed to the cross. Well, why is he talking about it then? Why is Paul bringing it up? For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law. And what is the new covenant? I will put my laws in your inward parts. Why is he putting the law in my heart if it was nailed and done away with? I'm asking. But the average Baptist, they'll be dumbfounded by that. Because I just read it out of the book of Romans, which was written afterwards. Verse 14, for when the Gentiles, who are the 10 northern tribes, who are separated from God, how much does that knowledge mean to you? If you don't know who the Gentiles are, well, that's anybody who's not a Jew. No, that's the 10 northern tribes who were cut off, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law. These having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of, the work of law written in their hearts. Their conscience also bearing witness that their thoughts demean while accused are while accusing or else excusing one another. So there's a new covenant. The law was written in their hearts. And it's God's will that we obey his law. The Ten Commandments are still the Ten Commandments. Nowadays, they're called the Ten Suggestions. But they're the commandments of God. Period. Then the Ten Commandments were done away with. Then it's okay to sin. Let's party. Let's go out and enjoy life. Let's enjoy all the things that this world has to offer. Because if the law, no law, no sin. What is sin? It's transgression of the law. See all the how we get twisted around and get all this stuff because we don't want to follow his word. We don't want to obey it. We just want to do what we really want to do. We close our eyes and close our ears. He doesn't do it. He doesn't want that. He wants us to be receptive to his laws and his word. Show that, if you will, turn back to the book of Isaiah, chapter 66. This is something I think is very, very critical. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 1 and 2. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? For all those things have my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord, but to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite heart, and tremble at my word. God says, look, if you build a house, if you build a church, if you build my house out of wood, who made the wood? I did. If you build it out of stone, who made the stone? I did. What's he looking for? What is he looking for? People who have a gentle heart, who tremble at the word. Stay in Isaiah, go to verse 15. For behold, the Lord will come with fire, and with his chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger and fury, and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. They that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the garden behind one's tree in the midst, eating swine's flesh, and the abomination and the mouse shall be consumed together, saith the Lord. So right there, he doesn't like it if you eat swine's flesh. This is not his first coming. This is his return. You can't return to some place you've never been. Well, that was before he came. No, it's his return. Besides, does a baby have a flaming sword? When he was an infant, when Mary gave birth, did he have a sword in his hand? Was he able to do it? No, he had to grow. So this is his return. Drop down now to verse 22. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. See, people, I understand people. I was told that when I die, I'm going to go to heaven and play around and float around and all this kind of stuff. No, 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 no. New Jerusalem, it will come. This will be planet heaven. We're going to reign here. The kingdom will be here. New Jerusalem will come down from heaven. Christ is going to come back. We're going to clean the place up before Dad shows up, so to speak. The kingdom of heaven, this will be planet heaven. We will reign with him. Okay, now, what does that mean? We're going to be zookeepers? Because all the bad people are gone. What does it mean to reign? Who are we going to reign over? The animals? No, we're going to reign over. It'll be like it was before the fall. The non-Adamic people is who we're going to reign over. Just like it was before Adam fell. They were here before Adam. Everybody knows that. I shouldn't say that. A lot of people understand that. There is no way we all came from Adam and Eve. But that's what I was taught growing up. That can't be. That simply cannot be. Verse 23, and it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another and from one Sabbath to another shall all flesh come and worship before me, saith the Lord. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me, for their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be abhorring unto all flesh. Something to think about. Why? Why did these people, what about the carcasses, the dead people who didn't make, did they do God's will? Did they know God's will? Did they have God's word? Did they even try? Did they even care? It's up to you, because you have to understand, God does not grade on a curve. Well, you know, Brian, you're into all this kind, but you know, hey, God knows my heart. Yes, he does. You're absolutely right. He knows you don't care. He knows that you're so full of yourself. You get up on Sunday, you go play church in some church, you clock in at 10 o'clock, you clock out at noon, and you're just like everybody else Monday through Saturday. Yeah, you're absolutely right. He does know your heart, unfortunately. What you said is true. Are you doing his will? Are you doing his will? Turn back, if you will, turn back to the book of James, chapter 2. James chapter 2, beginning in verse 17. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone or by itself. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and trembled. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? It's dead. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered up Isaac, his son, upon the altar? See thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God and was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Do you want to be God's friend? Are you a doer and a hearer? Are you a hearer and not a doer? You have to be both, because if you don't have both, you're dead. It has to be a balance. They can't have a five-gallon bucket of faith and a two-ounce. It has to be a little bit of both. It has to balance out. You show your faith by your works. That's how we know whether or not you've grown. And if you do that, then you'll be called a friend of God. If you will now turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, I'm going to begin in verse 22. History lesson. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David. This was God who took away the kingdom from Saul. And he raised up to them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. When John had first preached before his coming, the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. Again, this is Acts. Why is he still only concerned with Israel? And why is Jesus called the Savior of Israel? I thought he came to save the whole world. Was that his will? Was that God's word? Is that found? Verse 25, and John fulfilled his course and said, whom think ye that I am? I am not he. Behold, there cometh one after me whose shoes of the feet I am not worthy to loose. Here we go. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whomsoever among you that feareth God, to you is this word of this salvation sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they know him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, and have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree, laid him in a sepulcher, but God raised him from the dead. Is that a true story? Did that really happen? People will scoff. I heard a guy on the radio many, many years ago, and it about drove off the road when I heard it. He says this thing about this Jesus dying and being risen from the dead and all that. Yeah, I know it's a Bible thing. It's a Bible story. But he said, do you realize that there are 5,500 documented evidence in worldly readings that made an account of this event? 5,500 pieces of literature other than the written word of God that documented this thing really happened. Now, that's overwhelming to me. They can't deny that it didn't happen. Even worldly people admitted this thing really, really happened. Not only is it just us. If you will, drop down to verse 46 of Acts 13. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken unto you. But seeing ye put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles, or the 10 northern tribes, like Don said earlier, who were cut off. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for the salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad, and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. But watch what happens. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women, chief men of the city, these are like mayors and whatever, and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. And they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came from Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. That's what happens. Word got out. And they say, wait, we can't have this. These people, no. We got to. And they went after him. They told lies. They did all that. They riled up devout. Who are devout men and honorable, the honorable and devout women? Do we have women running cities now? Do we have women congressmen, senators, judges, is that God's word? Is that following God's law? When a woman's not to have authority over a man? Nothing against women. It's the word of God. A guy I work with was bragging. His wife is the pastor of their church. And he asked me, and I said, I'm sorry, I would never go to a church with a female pastor. Because if she's not the head of her family, how can she be the head of a church? And he looked at me. If looks could kill, I'd have been dead. How dare you? He said God called her to be a pastor. Which God? Is that found biblically? No. Was that God's will that Mary, whatever her... Nothing personal against the guy. But I said, it's not biblical. If it's not the word of God, is the will of God. Whoever, whatever God she's following, it's not the God of this Bible, the one that I study. And he was very much offended. How dare you insult me? I'm not insulting her one bit. I think I said, okay, how many of the 12 disciples were women? So Jesus was a sexist? And I know you guys all know this. They were all 12 disciples. They came out of one tribe. When God divorced the 10, he kept the two, Judah and Benjamin. all the 12 disciples came out of Benjamin. And I never knew that. Nobody ever told me that until I grew up and listened to the covenant teaching. But why was that? I don't understand. Why didn't he have a black and a Mexican and a Korean and a Hindu and a Buddhist and a woman and a Shiite? That's racist. He picked 12 men, all of Benjamin. That can't be right. You've heard it. You've heard stuff like that. Say it all the time. But that's the Word of God. That's the Word of God in His will. Turn with me now, if you will, to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2. 1 Peter, chapter 2, beginning in verse 5. This is for us today. Ye also, as lively stones, are built upon a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. If you're not a lively stone, you're a dead stone. If you're a hearer and not a doer, you're dead. Are you a lively stone or are you a dead stone? Can't have it both ways. Verse 6, wherefore also is it contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Where am I? Okay, yeah. Unto you therefore which believeth, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And the stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto you they were appointed. So why do people stumble at the word? Why do people stumble? Why do they get offensive by the Scriptures? Is that God's will, that you read and you get to decide? Well, I don't like that verse. I don't like that. That's offensive to me. Well, I don't care. I don't want to know. I can't change that. I don't want to do that. What would my wife say if I showed her this? What would my kids do? I can't take Easter and Christmas away from my kids. What would the neighbors think? What would mom and dad think? What would grandma and grandpa think? They're Christian. Hear it all the time. But they stumbled and they're being disobedient. Verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy or separate nation, a peculiar or purchased people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of the darkness unto his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but now are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Pastor Don talked about that earlier. This is exactly what he's talking about. He hadn't changed. A holy nation, holy means separate. This congregation will never be holy if we let non-covenant people in here. It will contaminate it. It will surrender. Because as soon as you do that, we all know the verse, a bastard shall not enter the congregation of the Lord. If you allow that to happen, then Jesus leaves. Can't have it both ways. Mongrels are not welcome here. Now that's harsh, right? The will of God is the Word of God. Period. No arguing. Don't argue with God's Word. You'll lose. You'll be disobedient. You won't be heirs. You can name it. You can believe it or not. Will you close your eyes and close your ears of hearing? It's up to you. Drop down, if you will, to, go to the book of Galatians, chapter 4. Got a little test here. One simple reading. Galatians chapter 4, verse 16. Paul is speaking. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? How many enemies have you made because you told them the truth of God's word? What will Fred Smith do if he comes here and hears the truth? He will have a choice to make, whether accepted or rejected. But an enemy because I tell you the truth? Has that happened to you? Will it happen again? Yes, it will. It's happened to me. This is not an easy walk. This is narrow. The world, Jesus warned us, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. Because if you're of me. Now, there's the other Jesus who the world loves. There's the popular Jesus who the world loves and adores. There's the true one who, when he died, Pastor Don brought this up. How many people attended at Jesus' funeral? What if this week the Pope has a massive heart attack and dies? How many millions would show up to that scumbag's funeral? That ungodly man, that Baal teacher, millions. But the world said, well, look how popular. Yes, he was popular. Yes, he is. I got that. Yeah, they got more wealth than most cities do. But the true Son of God, his disciples were afraid. Peter, I'll never. You're going to deny me. Three times, not just once, but three times. And in one of the Gospels, he cursed because he was scared. And then they made eye contact when the rooster crowed, and he went and wept bitterly. Have you ever wept bitterly because you were afraid to maybe try and show? I have. Because I have a hard time with milk and meat. I've always when I try to talk to people, I try to see where they're at. Because if I give them meat and they're a babe and they choke on it, that's on me. Yes, we're supposed to be the watchman on the wall in Ezekiel 3 and 30. We're supposed to be kind and gentle. How do you gently tell somebody something you know is going to offend them? But if you love truth, if you love them, you want to. And it's not easy to do. But the word will judge them, not me. We have to care. We have to try. And then it's up to them whether they will hear. Turn with me now, if you will, to the book of Proverbs, chapter 8. Proverbs, chapter 8, I just want to read verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the forward mouth do I hate. It's not a sin to hate. It's okay. How many times in the Bible and the anger of the Lord was kindled hot against Israel? Many times. And it says we're to hate evil things. And what about pride and arrogancy? I think I heard a guy give a message one time. He thinks the number one reason why most people fall is pride. And he gave a whole sermon on pride and how you have to be a humble servant. If you will, stay in Proverbs, just flip over to chapter 6, very, very familiar reading. Proverbs chapter 6, beginning in verse 16. These six things doth the Lord hate. Okay, God hates this stuff. He hates, and it's okay for us to hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. Number one, a proud look. Why, I can't work with someone who's arrogant. I can't deal with someone who's proud. I can't reach them. Second, a lying tongue. That was me when I told Fred Smith about this church. I lied. I deceived him. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. He hates that. Unfortunately, I've been a covenant believer, and me and my wife have been in this for 32 years. And it saddens me to no end the fighting I've seen. Because of the arrogant, self-righteous, know-it-all covenant preachers and believers who want to fight and argue whether Adam and Eve had a belly button. Really? That's what we're going to split up over? That's what we're going to end? We're going to destroy this congregation because you have to win an argument about a belly button? Really? Hey, I've seen it. Trust me, I have seen it. If I've met 100 people in the last 32 years, 90 of them are gone. Now, I don't know why. But I'm afraid to even talk to some people anymore. Because I'm tired of people. Why do we fight? Why? Really? A belly button? You're going to leave over a belly button. This is a true story. It really happened. A congregation did this. They hired an artist to paint a mural in the vestibule. And he had Moses, the Red Sea, and he had a thing of Adam and Eve in the garden. And someone said, wait, how come you put a belly? They didn't have a belly button. And a couple months later, the church was empty, and it was up for sale. Because that church split whether Adam and Eve had a belly button. Why? Because they were too damn proud. They didn't love each other. Do you want love or you want to be right all the time? The Bible says, yeah, we're to love truth. You don't have to know everything. I understand that. I love truth too. But nobody knows all truth. You don't have to understand all truth. Yes, you have to love it. I get that. But can we please relax and take it easy? He hates these things, a proud look. Can't talk to someone who's proud, arrogant, self-righteous. I know I've met them. Oh, I was a Christian before you were born. Okay, well then how come you don't know this? Why don't you understand this? And they're so proud of who they are, who they think they are. And they won't submit to God's word or his will. If you will, now turn with me to the book of Philippians, chapter 2. This is something that affects each and every one of us. Philippians, chapter 2, verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You know that the word tremble means to shudder. How many people tremble at the word of God? So much that you'll change. If you don't have that, you won't change. Work out your own with fear. Verse 13, for it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasures. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as the lights of the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Talk about a crooked and perverse nation. This happened to me. I'm going to share something with you. I work at the GM truck plant in Fort Wayne. And these are brain-dead liberal Democrats who think Obama can walk on water. And this guy brought it up. And I'm, whatever. And he asked me, you're a Democrat, aren't you? I said, no, I'm not. I've never voted for a Democrat, never will. Why not? Maybe I shouldn't have done this. Couldn't help it. I said, Orville, let me ask you something. Do you think Adolf Hitler was a good or bad person? Oh, he was one of the most evil, wicked. Yeah, I haven't met too many boys named Adolf in my lifetime. So you think Adolf Hitler was a bad man, was really evil? Yeah, why? Why was it? Because he killed 6 million Jews. I was hoping he would have said God's people, but he didn't. So you think a man who's responsible for killing 6 million Jews is a bad person? Really? Well, if that's true, then the women of America who have murdered 60 million babies are 10 times worse than Hitler. And if Hitler were here, he damn well would be a Democrat, wouldn't he? Because you guys celebrate a woman's choice to murder her own child. So if Hitler was bad, the women of America are 10 times worse. And that is one of 1,000 reasons I would never vote for a Democrat. This is how silent he was. Now you tell me, oh, it's bad when they do it, but it ain't bad when we do it. Really? Just one more question. I don't know what about the man? Gets his wife or girlfriend pregnant. What if he wants the baby? Oh, we don't. He doesn't have a choice. If that hates my body, you know what this baby's going to do to my figure? You know what it's going to do to my career? You know what it's going to do to my, I can't afford this right now. Yeah, okay, well, I'll take it. Nope. Does the man have any rights? What if he wants that child? Nobody cares about that. Oh, because we are women, hear me roar. You've seen these protesters, these women. I don't care for Trump. Scumbag. But look at what they did. Look at the words and how they act. Christian ladies? I don't think so. But we need to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. And I don't understand the hypocrisy. Matter of fact, we all know Jeremiah 23, woe unto the pastors who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture. Woe unto them. How do they destroy that? Well, they mix them with goats and all the other things, and they're not teaching them God's word. Woe unto them. Now, this was prophesied because they didn't have, in my opinion, they didn't have pastors in the Old Testament. They had prophets and priests. This is today. This is today with all the Baal churches and all the Baal preachers who are scattering and destroying God's people. His flock is being destroyed because of the pulpit. Matter of fact, we know in the Bible that judgment begins at the house of God. I think it begins right at the pulpit. It matters what you teach. It matters where you go to church. It really does. Which God will you serve? It does matter. It matters to Him. Turn with me now, if you will, to the book of Matthew, chapter 10, to show you how hard it's going to be. And I think everybody in this room has gone through this. If not, you will. Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verse 32. Whoso therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Are you ashamed to admit to people you go to church on Sundays? Your classmates, your co-workers, your family, your friends? Are you ashamed to admit, confess that? Verse 33, but whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not up his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. You've all experienced this. Family members. I'm not as close to my family as I used to. My mom and dad, they had 5 children. I lost my mom in first grade. My dad remarried a lady who had 2. There was 9 of us. And we all went to St. Paul's Lutheran Church growing up. None of us except my mom and dad still go there. All 7, I lost my one brother. We all go to different churches. None of us stayed home. Why is that? And especially with what I believe. I lost my dad in December. He passed away December 29th. But in some ways, our relationship ended almost 32 years ago when I became a covenant believer. And they were very offended that we don't go to their Christmas party and we don't go to their Easter egg hunt. And I've never taken Laura and David Halloween trick-or-treating to his house. And he takes offense to that. And I've heard it over and over and over again. I'm not changing. I'm sorry. Oh, yeah, you will. Wait, you have kids. You'll change. No, I won't. Not me. And I've heard people say, yeah, but when I die and go to heaven, if my daughter and son's not there, I'll be sad. No, you won't. No, you won't. What do you mean? Well, if you don't love God now more than them, you're going to find out that they were somebody who denied your Savior. If you love them more now than you do me, you're not of me. I don't know if I'm saying this right. You're not going to be sad when you get up there and you get into heaven or the kingdom, however way you want to word it, and your wife's not there, your son's not there, your daughter's not there. It won't bother you one bit because you're supposed to love him more than them now anyways. You're going to be sad. Of course, yeah, he'll wipe away all tears. Maybe there's something to that. I don't understand. But if you don't love him more than them now, you're not worthy of him. Is this easy? Oh, heavens no. But he said it. If you deny me, this is Jesus. My Bible's read. This is Christ speaking. He's not playing games here. Because the greatest love you'll ever have is one of suffering and commitment. This is not an easy walk. You will suffer. You will lose friends, family. Jesus says, I am going to divide it. It all started with Adam and Eve. Adam was called the son of God. They disobeyed. God had a choice. What did he love more, his word or his creation? What did he choose? He chose his word. Did he love Adam? Of course he did. But this word separated God from Adam. Okay? Now, before Adam and Eve fell, before Adam fell, he was perfect. He had a perfect mind, a perfect heart. And when he disobeyed God, did that perfect heart save him? Did his good heart save him? And you had the arrogance to say to me that, well, God knows my heart. It's okay. He won't get mad. Yes, he will. He got mad yesterday about this. He's mad today. He'll be mad tomorrow. It's that simple. It's that simple. Okay, turn with me now to the book of John, chapter 3. John chapter 3, beginning in verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed the name of the only begotten Son of God. Here's what happened. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved or discovered. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. So when you find the truth, do you run to it? When you walk in the light of truth, when you find God's will and you read God's word, do you have joy in your heart or do you run away? Why do people love darkness over light? Because it'll force them to change. Well, what will grandma think? What will mom and dad think? What will my brothers think of me? What will, and on and on and on and on, my coworkers, my friends, and they go on and on and on. Why? Because they love darkness. Because why? You'll be more popular if you're in darkness. You'll have more friends. You'll be the life of the party. How many times did they try to kill Jesus before they actually killed him? Many times. My goodness, he went into one church and he just read out of the book of Isaiah. He read his own word and they tried to kill him. They hated him. They threw him out. And it happened over and over and over again. And he said, now, come on, guys, we got to go. No, it's not time yet. And all he did was try to teach them his word. And they hated him for it, just like they hate us. They will. Turn with me now. We brought 1 Corinthians, just a couple more. 1 Corinthians 13. I'm going to wrap this up with this and a couple of things. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning in verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity or love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and I have not love or charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. What he's saying is that if you don't, I don't care if you know the Bible upside down, backwards, forwards. If you're a Greek scholar and you know Hebrew and you can quote everything and all this kind of stuff. But if you don't have love, he doesn't say you don't have nothing. He says you are nothing. You're nothing to me. I don't care how much you know the Bible. I don't care if you know prophecy. I don't care if you can quote 5,000 scriptures. If you don't love the brethren, you are nothing to me. It's as simple as that. You are nothing. And let me ask you something. What does the congregation of the Fellowship of God's Covenant People, what do you want to be known for? Do you want to be known for the good sermons? Sure. The good songs? Yes. Tom has written some good songs. Sing me a new song, as the psalm says. But what do you want to be known for? More than anything is that we love one another. And I think we've succeeded. Because if you don't have that, God says, I can't use you. I can't use your knowledge if you don't love. I can't use your your gift of prophecy. I can't use you because you don't care enough to love the brethren. And because of that, you're nothing to me. I got to have this one. To show you two more readings, go to Mark chapter 14. I'm going to show the ultimate, greatest story of submitting to God's will that you'll ever read. Mark chapter 14, beginning in verse 32. This is the end. Jesus is in Gethsemane. And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he saith to his disciples, sit ye here while I pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed, and was very heavy. And saith unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And Jesus, and he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. Here we go, verse 36. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he did this. We know we could go. He did this three times. Father, is there any way? Please, please take this cup. I don't want to do this, but not my will. Your will be done. And he did it. One last reading, if you will, go to John chapter 18 to demonstrate this. John chapter 18, verse 11. Well, we know Simon Peter, or verse 10, then Simon and Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his ear in the servant, and we know that Jesus healed it. Verse 11, then Jesus said unto Peter, put up thy sword unto thy sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? He asked him, if there's any way, remove this cup, but not my will, thy will be done. We're all drinking a cup this week. It's a heavy cup of sorrow and acceptance because we lost Pastor Mark Downey. But nobody's cup is heavier than Debbie's. But because of what we read in 1 Corinthians, you guys have love. You really do. And I think I feel very comfortable telling Debbie this. That cup that you're drinking, Debbie, if you need us to hold it for you so you can wipe away the tears from your eyes, we'll hold it for you. And if that cup gets a little heavy, we'll help you hold it. And when you go to drink it, if it's, we will help lift it up and help you overcome this, because we have that love. And just as Jesus told his disciples when he left them, I will send a comforter. Debbie, I think Mark left you in good hands. He left you in good hands. We'll always be here for you, because I think we are that church that loves one another. And we will comfort one another. If you love God's will, if you love his word, please do it. Do it the best you can. Thank you very much, and may the God of our fathers bless each and every one of us. Thank you.